Jeremiah is not a very fun book to read. How many have read the book of Jeremiah? It's not a very fun book. It's full of woes. And Jeremiah was rightly called the weeping prophet because a lot of the things that he said about Israel and about Judah were not good. God was leveling judgment against them because of their idolatry and their abominations. And he sent this man Jeremiah to tell Israel what they were doing wrong, to tell Judah what was happening that wasn't pleasing him. And Jeremiah, more oftentimes, was a weeper. He was weeping and distraught before God. He was anxious before him. And he was one of those guys that if you were to say, what was Jeremiah's attitude when God spoke to him? Jeremiah would say this: God, I don't want to tell him that. I really don't want to tell them that. Number one, they're not going to believe me. Number two, they're going to hate me. They're going to want to kill me. But God always said, be faithful to say what you have to say. Your life will be a prize to you. So Jeremiah was faithful, and he spoke out God's word. And in chapter 17, he's preaching specifically to Judah in this portion of Scripture. But I think there's something really, really tremendous that you and I can be challenged with today, that we make sure that there's an either or. Now, you're going to understand this morning, in this passage of Scripture, there's an either or. It's not an and. They're opposed. They're diametrically opposed. It's either one or the other. You can't have it both ways. Okay? You're going to find this out as we go through the Scripture. But in the New Testament, Jesus said that you're going to love one master and hate the other, that you're going to cling to one and despise the other, and you cannot serve God and mammon. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again in reference to the message this morning. He didn't say you can't serve God and Satan. Isn't that interesting? Because Jesus knew the thing that would capture us and capture our attention wasn't necessarily the enemy, but it was the love of the world. After all, it was the love of the world that caused Adam and Eve to fall. It was the temptations listed in the Gospels that Jesus overcame. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The same ones that 1 John tells us in his epistle. It was the love of the world that causes many to fall away and many to sin and many not to serve God. And I'll tell you something, that today the enemy doesn't necessarily want you to serve him. He just doesn't want you to serve God. And he'll do whatever it takes to get you to not serve God. You don't have to be a Satan worshiper to go to hell. Okay? You don't have to stand in a circle with a pentagram with candles and chant to the enemy, to the devil, to be going to hell. You can be a really good person in this world and be so busy about yourself and full of your own life that you can be lost and not have Christ in your heart. And I want you to know that's not only possible, it happens all the time. Let's go back into chapter 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, and I want to preface that, thus says the Lord. This wasn't Jeremiah's idea, this wasn't the king's idea, this is one of the thoughts that passed in his mind. It was something that God planted in his heart to say. Verse number 5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. I want to stop right there. What does it mean to make flesh your strength? That means to make whatever man creates your strongest asset. What does it look like? Well, it could look like your retirement account, your pensions. That could be your strength. Proverbs says a rich man's strong tower is his wealth. That's his security. That's his refuge. Now, you're going to say, well, Pastor, that's not a problem. I don't have any money. So what else can it look like? Because it does include you too, if you don't have any money. What else could be your asset? Maybe your good health. Maybe you're still vital. You still have vitality. You can still work. And you don't have much money, but you know you can work and you have maybe a good job. That can be your asset. Your friends can be your asset, your strong tower. The thing that you turn to when things get bad. Let me ask you this very simply. Where do you turn when things go south? Well, where should you turn? God, we should probably make that clear first. But where do we sometimes turn? We turn to our resources and finance, right? We turn to our own knowledge, our own understanding, because sometimes we say, I can think my way out of this problem. I'm not an idiot. I can do this myself. Or number three, we go to our friends and we cry on their shoulders and get pity and sympathy from them, hoping that they'll help us with the problem. But the problem is that They're not the solution. God is. And God will continually put things in your path to force you to an opportunity to trust Him. Until you do. I have done that. Seen that, been there, done that. Now let's go on in verse number 5. Now that we know what it means to make flesh your strength. Verse number 5. Whose heart departs from the Lord. It's clear to me, and it's clear to the Word, and hopefully clear to you too, that the moment that we make flesh our strength, and we start depending upon our own knowledge and our own intellect, that our heart departs from God. Look at the phraseology. Whose heart departs from the Lord? It wasn't, and it maybe will depart from God, or sometimes does. No, it departs from God. In fact, what happens is your agenda becomes your own again. God's agenda doesn't become yours anymore. And your heart departs from God. And it grieves me because people don't know what's happening. We'll get to that in just a minute. But you know what story rings out more truly than any other about God departing from someone and not him not knowing it? Somebody yell it out if they know it. A little louder. Samson. Samson was a man who was given incredible supernatural strength. Abilities that man could not ever duplicate or replicate or counterfeit. They were God-given. And I believe Samson looked like just any ordinary man. He wasn't this behemoth of a man that was 10 feet tall and 600 pounds and had biceps the size of tree trunks. Because otherwise everybody would know exactly where his strength lies. But in Samson's story, so bear with me just for a minute. In Samson's story, as he meets Delilah and the Philistines get after him, they test her and said, you know what, I want you to find out where his strength lies. Because they couldn't find it. They couldn't find it. They didn't know Samson's past as a Nazarite, how his hair had never been cut. And so they asked Delilah to go and to test him, to tempt him, to empty out his will and to submit to him, to submit to her so she could find out where his great strength lied. And there's a very interesting verse in Judges when it says that as he slept, the barbers came and they cut the locks of his hair. And I want you to envision this with me. They cut the locks of his hair. I don't know how deep in sleep he was. He was probably drinking, which he shouldn't have done anyway. But he was deep in sleep and the Philistines came and they cut the locks of his hair. And then when they were done, Delilah woke Samson up and said, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And my Bible tells me that Samson awoke and he said within himself, I will shake off these Philistines as I've shaken them off every other time. But the end of the verse says this, but he did not know the Lord had departed from him. Wow. Wow. Samson was so self-consumed and so self-initiated and so his whole world revolved around him that when God's presence and his power left, he didn't even know it. Well, we know what happens to Samson. They shave his head, they put out his eyes, and they make him grind wheat in the mill. And he dies with the Philistines later in his life. But the premise is this, and it comes up in verse number 6. Because I think it's important. So bring up verse 6, if you would, Gladriel. He shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. A few weeks ago, I preached a message about not missing our time of visitation. Not missing our time when God's going to come and visit us in this church. I believe it's coming, folks. I believe it's at the door. And God wants so very much that His church would embrace Him, that it would know that He's here. Because the possibilities of what Jesus wants to do are endless. And you shouldn't be afraid of it. You should embrace it and love it and expect it and want it. Why? Because what God brings, He brings with joy and happiness and fulfillment. You can't find it outside these walls. You can't find it without God. Millions and millions of people have tried to fill their lives with things without God and find themselves miserable and destitute and lonely. And it's those people that when the good things come, they cannot see them. Why? Because the presence of the Lord has departed from them. Their heart has departed from the Lord, and it's like their eyes have been put out like Samson's. Samson was so self-consumed, he didn't see that God had departed from him. But God gives us a warning through the Old Testament this morning. Don't be like Samson. Don't let your life be so self-consumed that you miss when the good things come. And you know, I'll tell you something. When do the good things come? They come when things are bad. Am I right? You know, God's never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. How many can attest to that? Give me witness to that. God's always right on time. It doesn't matter what I think. God's always on time in God's timetable. We may think God's late. Kind of like when the disciples, or when Mary and Martha said, God, Jesus, you've been here 4 days ago. Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus wasn't 4 days late. He was right on time. Because by that time, there was no reason to believe that Jesus didn't raise Lazarus from the dead. Because Martha said, Lord, by now he stinks. Didn't she say that? Right? Is that what your Bible says? Lord, he stinks. I'm not going near that tomb. But as Jesus gave the command, it proved to everyone who was there that he was right on time. And that's when good things come. When we really need them, we may think we need them right away. God says, hey, I want to just have you hold on for just a minute. I want you to trust me with this thing. And I'll tell you, it's hard to trust God when things are going bad. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes it's harder to trust God when things are going good. Then we get back to being full of ourselves and our own strengths and our own assets and our own abilities and talents. And we forget that God wants to prove himself mighty to us in the good times and the bad. But if we take our heart from God, in verse 5, we won't see when the good things come. We can't. Have you ever seen a shrub in the desert? It doesn't look like much, does it? It's barely hanging on to life. There's just enough moisture so that it can maybe green up for a little bit when the rains come, but then it's just as dry as a bone, and you can light a fire with it, no problem, because it's just enough life to hold on. And God doesn't want you to live your Christian life that way. He doesn't want you to live like a shrub in the desert that barely holds on to life. And what can suck the life out of us? Unforgiveness can. Envy, jealousy, bitterness, any number of vices that are out there that are evil, they can suck the life out of us. And we create this atmosphere of desert because we're not allowing our heart to go with God. And God says, if you just let your heart be part of my plan, accept my agenda, accept my will, and let it be part of your plan, you'll see the good things when they come. Continue on in verse number 6. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land which is not inhabited. You will be alone if you don't have God. You will be alone. Because you know what? There's a time when nobody on earth can help you. Many have faced doctors hoping doctors had the miracle and doctors couldn't do it. Many have needed friends to come to their aid, and friends were nowhere, and relatives were nowhere, and they found themselves alone in situations. But I'll tell you something. Jesus, when he was going to be crucified, he said this, you know, I'm never alone. The Father is always with me. So when we have God on our side, guess what? We are never alone. You never have to go anywhere without knowing there's somebody right beside you. He's going before you. He stands behind you. The Bible says he's our front guard and our rear guard. That means he takes the onslaught for us, and he takes care of the sneaks behind us. Right? The things that want to sneak up and grab us from behind. God takes care of those things too. But we're never alone. And in verse 6 it says, you'll be alone in a salt land which is not inhabited. That means nothing else is there. But now let's turn to verse number 7. We're not going to leave ourselves in the desert this morning. We're going to take ourselves to the blessed place. So, the Bible tells us that cursed is the man who makes flesh their strength, whose heart departs from God, because he's not going to see when good things come. But let's find out what happens to man if he continues with God. Verse number 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. I want to stop right there in verse number 8. Whose hope is in the Lord, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. You know, when I have nothing else to hope for in this world, when I have nothing else to lean on, God is my only hope. God is my only hope. 1 Corinthians, the end of chapter 13, what's the last verse say? These three things remain, right? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Okay, here's a freebie for you. Do you know why love is the greatest of these three? Because in heaven, you don't need faith. In heaven, you don't need hope. But you need God's love. That's why it's the greatest. You know, we hope now for heaven. We have faith that heaven's coming our way. But when we're there, we don't have to hope anymore. We don't have to have faith anymore. Everything's been fulfilled for us. And now the self-consuming emotion or the essence of God is love. Why? Because God is love. It's the greatest. That's a freebie for you guys. Take that home. Chew on it. Turn the day today. The greatest of these is love. Okay, let's go back to the scripture. Let's not get on too hard of a rabbit trail here this morning. Whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. What is special about a tree planted by the waters? Let's read about it in verses 7 and 8. Or verse 8. Which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The last sentence we'll deal with at the very end of the message this morning. But I want to deal with the nature of a tree planted by the water. He's like a tree planted by the waters. How does that song finish? I shall not be moved, right? Is that how the old hymn goes? Did I get that right, Auntie Bonnie? Okay, I got it right. Good. My memory's not all bad. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the waters. It doesn't matter what comes our way. It doesn't matter what kind of affliction comes our way. Our sustenance, our nourishment, our life doesn't come from the things around us. It comes from within. Within the ground that we're planted. In the desert, there is no moisture in the ground, right? There's no moisture in the ground. Where does all the moisture have to come from? From outside. And if you watch nature shows, there are animals that survive on dew. They come in the morning, they eat all their food and get all the dew in the morning. That's all the water they need for the day. Plants that stay alive in the desert, they capture the dew. Things that are brought from the outside. Things that are brought from outside sustain them. But when things aren't sustainable on the outside, we need to have a source of sustenance that comes from within. What is that source? It's what Jesus talked about in John chapter 4, that comes from within him a river of living water. A river. Oh, did he read Jeremiah? Where the tree is planted by the waters? Maybe Jesus already knew that. But when your sustenance comes from within, where you're planted, you never have to worry about going dry. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You see, Job's surroundings, his atmosphere became very dry and lifeless. He lost everything. In fact, the only thing he didn't lose, the one thing he could have lost, was his wife. Because she said, curse God and die, Job. What are you still hanging on to him for? Right? But he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost all of his belongings, all of his assets. He didn't have a bank and self and trust to go to. He lost everything, and he had boils all over his life. His life was shot. There was nothing left. There was no sustenance from without him. But he said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Job knew that within him was life because he trusted in God. Now, hopefully, prayerfully, none of us will ever go through what Job did. Amen? Anybody want to do that? We can pray for you today after the service. Well, you know, nobody wants, yes, Pastor, sign me up for that prayer. I'm all over that. You know, I want them to write a book of the Bible about me like they did Job. But it's not going to happen. Why? Because Job was an example for us of God's sustenance even when life is lifeless. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, God says, if you abide in me, you're like a tree planted by the waters. That means there's constant sustenance, there's constant nutrition, there's life, there's health when you're planted by God by the waters. I had a vision about the church a few weeks ago, and for those of you who weren't here, I shared it during the morning service before the message, actually. And it was this. I saw the church, and it was just an instant. It was just like a flash, and I saw this. And I saw the church, and I saw the church standing by the shore of a great river. And in this vision, there were people in the church that were going out into the water. And the Lord said to me, tell the people, if you're on the shore, don't stay on the shore. Get into the water. If you're knee deep, go waist deep. If you're waist deep, go shoulder deep. If you're shoulder deep, get totally immersed and get lost in the river. Why? Because there's life in the river. There's no life on the shore. There's life in the river. That's where God's life abides, is in His presence. It's like a river that surrounds us. It comes up from within us like a living water, and it blesses everybody that we're in contact with. Isn't it great? And we become like a tree that no matter what happens, a person who, it's more than just a sunny disposition, let me just tell you that. A person who is sustained by God no matter what happens, there is a joy that's within them that the world cannot take away. Why? Because the world didn't give it to them. God gave it to them. And when you rest and you trust on God, no matter what happens around you, you never wither. Your leaf never withers. It always stays green. And then to close the message this morning, let's read the last part of verse number 8. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. You know that in a bad year, even a green tree won't produce a crop if things are really, really bad weather-wise? It's just the way nature protects the plant. It says, you know what? I'm not sensing enough here to put out a crop and to get a crop out of this. I'm just going to hold on to my own and keep myself green for the summer. Maybe you've experienced that with fruit trees in the past where they just haven't produced a crop some years. But the last part of the verse tells us this. Not only will you stay green if you serve God, not only will you stay watered and healthy, you're going to produce fruit. You're going to produce fruit. You'll never fail to produce a crop or a yield for Jesus Christ. And church isn't about just coming here and being together. This is about getting energized so that we go out and we become witnesses for Jesus Christ no matter where we go. That's our crop. We may plant some days. We may till the ground some days with people that are really hard. Maybe some of you know somebody like that that's really hard. It's hard to get through that crust of ground. Maybe God's just called you to be a plower. But once the ground's been plowed, then you can be a planter. Maybe you're going to plant seed in that life, or you're going to water it. Maybe you'll produce the crop of a harvest and actually lead somebody to Jesus Christ as their Savior. But it is God who gives the increase. Let me ask you today, where do you find your strength? Do you find it in flesh? Are you lying in the desert wondering how you're going to make it to tomorrow? Lord, I just got to survive today. Or do you say, Lord, today is yours? I may not know what's going on, but I know wherever I walk, I know you're going with me because I'm never alone. I'm like a tree planted by the water. Is that your prayer this morning? That's my hope for you today. It's not that you'd be trying to sustain life in this world with Jesus Christ, but that you're trying, you don't have to try, that God blesses you abundantly. He said, I came to give life and to give it more abundantly. What's the secret? It's you not doing it. Do you get that? The harder you try, the worse it gets. But if you let God, you've heard the saying, let go and let God? Sometimes that's the only alternative you have. So I want to tell you today, just encourage you. I don't know what meaning God had fully behind this message, but I felt God asked me to preach it because I feel it's important for us to understand that there is an either or that He asks us to attend to. Either we make our flesh the strength of our life or our heart is toward the Lord God Almighty. And the differences are night and day. Let's bow, shall we? Father, I'm grateful for a time just to